Now that we're moving into the second week of Lent, you see there'll be more moral instruction. The first reading from Isaiah. And then the gospel is addressed particularly to leaders, right? Don't make your weight felt. Don't expect everybody to be running around doing things for you. Serve. So we'll get there in a minute. But here, the leaders are more leaders in the country. Hear the word of the Lord, princes of Sodom. Listen to the instruction of our God, people of Gomorrah, the princes and the people. You've become Sodom and Gomorrah. Whew. He doesn't mince words, does he? And you say, well, that's those Jews back there. No. It's read out to us this morning, isn't it? And then comes the invitation. So once we say, yeah, we deserve it, then he says, come now and let us set things right, says the Lord. I want to get right with you. So how am I going to do it? I'm going to forgive you. You can't make it right. So I will. Come now, let us set things right, says the Lord. Though your sins be scarlet, they may become white as snow. Though they be crimson red, they may become white as wool. I can cleanse you. I can make you radiant and holy and beautiful. Just come to me. If you are willing and obey, you shall eat the good things of the land. But if you refuse and resist, the sword shall consume you, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. That's what a beautiful call to repentance, right? And directed specifically to the leaders. That's us. We got a lot to do, and you know. And as things get tougher, the leaders, the bishops and the priests, have got to guide God's people through corruption and fear and all this stuff that's going on. How do you do that? The word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord is a word which lifts, which consoles, which enlightens and strengthens and encourages. That's why he says, see, and surely this part, if there was nothing else, surely this part. The scribes, those are the theologians, sort of, and the Pharisees, those are sort of the enacting leaders. They take their seat on the chair of Moses. Therefore, they've inherited the role of Moses. Therefore, do and observe all things whatsoever they tell you. But don't follow their example. You see? And now the rest of this text is for the leaders. Huh? They preach, but they do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens hard to carry and lay them on people's shoulders. That, you see, trying to be more and more exact in the law can make what was meant to be a guide and a relationship to God, an awful burden. After all, what is the motive for keeping the law? Gratitude. Go back to the Ten Commandments and see how they start. You see what I did to the Egyptians and how I saved you. Therefore, that's why we keep the law. To be grateful to God. Look what he's done for us. And then he instructs us how to live so that his truth can be made known in the world. That's the whole point. So don't be like these guys. What you see? what can happen right away is, well, I'm not going to be like those Pharisees. I thank you, God, I'm not like those Pharisees. And the Lord says, you are. If you're doing that kind of stuff. Later, I'm quite forgotten now, but I think we have also the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And I hope we do, because if you listen when he tells that story, you see, Jesus is identified with the guy in the back. He's back there. He doesn't even dare raise his eyes to heaven. He just beats his breast, and Jesus is just so one with him. Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Well, he knows he never sins. He's God. But he's so identified with us. That one went home justified, not the first one. There's a, I don't know the right, like a thrill. There's a leap in the heart of Jesus when he tells us what the Pharisee said. Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I don't stand a chance if you don't help me out. None. You've got to forgive my sins. I got no place else to go. That's the Pharisee, I mean the scribe, the tax collector. He's working for the government. All his own people hate him. He makes money by levying taxes. You know, your tax this year will be $7,800. Well, the $800 is for himself. And everybody knows that. That's how the Romans keep their tax collectors. A, they get addicted to the money, and B, they're hated by their own people. So they've got to stick with the Romans, okay. So then it goes, the last line, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. So, you want to be exalted? Humble yourself. That's what he's saying. Well, you know, if you really look at yourself, it's not very hard to be humble. I mean, we're disasters. And who can show us that in a way that's liberating and not crushing? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit shows us our real sin, but in a way that we're liberated by the mercy of God. And then we can be easy with others, because we're all sinners. So that's the gospel.